And turn to the Gospel of Luke, if you will, Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. We've spent the last couple Sundays taking time in Scripture, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, also Romans chapter 12, preaching on the importance of spiritual gifts in the church. And my, how important that is, that God has a plan, and God put a plan in place. And that was he gifted the believers in the body of Christ, with gifts. Those are given to you and I by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible makes that very clear. And God has a plan and a purpose in how he gifts the church and how he puts things in place. And not each one does the same thing. We all do things different and have different gifts, different abilities in the Lord's work. And that's by God's design. And if we all did the same thing, then it may not be as efficient as what he designed it to be. But we know that God gifted the church, and so it's important that you and I find what our spiritual gifts are. I'd encourage you to continue to read on and spend some time in there, and then seek the Lord's will and the Holy Spirit's direction on what your gift is and what God would allow you to use that gift in the Lord's work. So today, I want to follow those two messages up with the message today, and I titled it Committed Christianity. Committed Christianity. Let's look at this text of Scripture here, if you will, and Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, and begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 25, and the Scriptures, Jesus teaching some Bible principles here. Luke 14, verse 25. Some of this text can also be found over in the book of Matthew, but we'll take the text here in Luke today. Beginning in verse 25, it said, "And there went a great multitudes with him, and he turned, and he said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish." In verse 31, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage, then desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So when you think about this text here, Jesus teaching, you know, when you think about Christianity and you think about the world that we live in, Judaism shows the world their commitment to their belief system, even though they are yet to believe in the Messiah. The Jewish nation of as a whole, the nation of Israel, has not yet professed or not yet believed in and not yet trusted in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day's coming, and the day will come when the blinders will be taken off. Romans, the book of Romans makes that very clear, when all Israel shall be saved. All Israel, the Jewish people, shall know and understand that God sent his Son into the world, and that Son was a Jew, a Hebrew, that came and gave his very life that you and I could have eternal life. But yet today they walk in unbelief. We find that Islam shows the world their commitment to their belief system, even though they follow a God that is not our Creator God, nor do they believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. I have run into others here in the community. I've even invited them here to church. I had a man in church here one time that was a Muslim faith, and he listened to the gospel, listened to the message, and afterwards, as he and I were visiting, he indicated to me, he says, "Well, I believe in Jesus Christ." I asked him that. I said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Yes." But he also believes in Muhammad as a prophet. He also believes that Jesus is a prophet. He did not believe that Jesus is deity, is God in the flesh. but they have a very strong belief system. So when you think about committed Christianity, Jesus Christ calls for its followers. If you and I are a Christ follower, if we're a child of God, if we're a believer of Jesus Christ, if we're saved by the blood atonement of Christ, we should be a committed Christian. And Christianity, Jesus Christ calls for his followers to be even more committed. And so much so that our text is teaching us here, count the cost. Count the cost of being a Christian. And just don't make that decision flippantly or just go into it half-heartedly. And because we need to be serious about our commitment to Jesus Christ. We just don't shouldn't just get saved and say, well, you know, that's good. Now I've got eternal salvation. I'm going to heaven and then live an uncommitted or a committed life in Christ. He desires that you and I live a life of commitment. So he says here, count the cost before you sign up to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, most churches desire their congregations to grow fully committed to Christ. I know as a pastor, as a senior pastor, my desire is to teach biblical truth and to teach Bible doctrine, the truth of the Word of God, and to get you to read your Bible, study your Bible, and to walk in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ and be committed to Christ. Anything that I can do to encourage, push, exhort, edify, to build up and push in that direction, you need to be in your Bible, in the Word of God. You need to grow in Christ. You need to be committed to Christ. You need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so we find that we must have a clear process to do that, clear expectations to do that. And there is in our American churches today, I think across a large group, a large swath, a lack of making disciples and followers and commitment. A lot of times people don't like commitment. They don't like, you know, commitment. That means I gotta be serious. I gotta commit. And yes, God is saying here, and Jesus is teaching here in the scripture, yes, we need to count the cost. Yes, we need to be committed to Christ and to be a follower of his. And so when we think about that, there's a common pattern that emerges in the Lord's work, and that is the importance of is making disciples. But here we find that churches with disciples in them has a higher attendance rate or lower dropout rate. And we're going to look at some of those indicators here when we look at really true discipleship that really becomes a common thread in Christianity. So looking at our text here in this verse, look at it in verse 25. He's talking to the multitudes. So Christ's aim in verse 25 was not to gather appreciative crowds, but to make true disciples. And what he really began in verse 25, verse 26, and on through this text, his true desire was to get truly committed followers of Jesus Christ. No matter what your career path is, no matter what your choices in life is, you can be a committed follower, disciple of Jesus Christ in any walk of any profession, of any career, of any background, of any race or family or whatever. You can be committed, totally committed to Christ. Jesus never adapted his message to the majority preferences, but always plainly declared there's a high cost in following Christ. You want to live godly in Christ Jesus? You want to be committed to him? If any man come to me, and he uses some strong language in verse 26, and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. When I first read that text, after I got saved and I began to be aware of that, I really struggled with this verse. This verse here in the word hate, Matthew 10:37 records the same thought and is really the key. Hold your place there, if you will, to Luke 14, but go back to Matthew 10. Let me just show it to you. Matthew 10 and verse 37 kind of opens this up. It says that he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I think Matthew 10:37 kind of opens up the meaning to this verse in Luke 14 and verse 26. By that meaning, we find here the word hatred in verse 26 of Luke 14 called here for is actually a lesser love. In other words, there should be nobody you love more than God. You should love him more than anything else. You should love Jesus Christ more than anything else. And then comes your spouse, and then comes your children, and then comes your family. There should be nothing that should interfere between your love for God, and that's really what he's coming down to here. It's really called this word hatred in verse 26, is actually meaning a lesser love. Jesus was calling his disciples here to cultivate such a devotion to Christ that their attachment to everything else, including our own lives, would seem like hatred by comparison. So he's not teaching here that you should hate your father or mother or wife or brother or whatever. What he's saying here and teaching here, that in discipleship and being a committed Christian, how strong is your love for God? How strong is your love for Christ? How strong is your commitment to Christ? It should supersede all other relationships in our lives committed to Jesus Christ. You know, if you find here, it's interesting, when you look in verse 27, he even goes on to say here to do what? Count the cost. Count the cost. The multitudes were positive, but uncommitted. He says, count the cost. Far from making it easy for them to respond positively, he set the cost of discipleship as high as possible. Jesus set the bar as high as possible and then encouraged them to do a careful inventory before declaring their willingness to follow Christ. I don't know about you, but I know there's been a couple times in my life when I came face to face with the decision of, will I be a Christ follower or will I not? The first one was at age 16, and I was a teenager, and at age 16, I heard the gospel for the first time, understood what it meant then to believe and to be saved and believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and said at that point, I desire to be saved, desire to be born again, and I want to be a Christ follower. So I got saved at age 16. And I felt at that time that I was committed to Christ and serving him. Yes, I went to church. Yes, I read my Bible. Yes, I tried to share my faith and witness and be of encouragement to others around me to walk in a Christ-like manner. But I find that then 3 years later, at age 19, I came face to face with another decision of where God simply laid it in front of me and said, I want total surrender. I want you to lay everything on the line and give me everything you got, past, present, future. And I had no idea what that meant. I just know that down in the Akron, Canton, Ohio area in a revival meeting, I got on my knees in a sanctuary like this with 5,000 people, and I was by myself. And I, at age 19, I said, God, this is it, right now, today, right now, this spot, this moment, I totally surrender all to you, no matter what that means. No matter what that means financially, no matter what that means career-wise, no matter what that means with a spouse and getting married, no matter what that means with children or whatever, but at this point, from this point on, I desire to fully commit to you my life to be a Christ follower. You find here, and Jesus simply said, count the cost. Now, at that young age, at 19, I had no idea what that meant. And so Jesus went on to begin to lay out a couple parables here. And notice what he did in verse 28, 29, and 30. He gives us an example. Jesus oftentimes taught in these parables. He said, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, and all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I knew at that moment, at age 19, when I said, God, I'll follow you, I'll do whatever you want, no matter what the career path is, no matter what the choices are in life, I dedicate and give my life totally surrendered to you. I knew when I was making that decision, there were some friends that I had that I thought were really good friends. They were not really living for the Lord, and I thought, God, this just might be, depending on how they react to that, cutting loose some friendships that may not be influencing me for the cause of Christ. So, you know, and I didn't have to go along and pick and choose. I just began to follow Christ and commit to Christ and decide to live for him, and all of a sudden you find out where your real true friends are really at. Commit to Christ. And commit that in your life you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus and you're going to give your heart and your life to the Lord. Count the cost, because it might mean you might have to sever a relationship, a good friend. It might mean that somebody that you think is a good influence on you may not be a good influence for you in Christ. So count the cost. And he gave us this parable. In other words, if you're going to build something, you sit down first, count the cost, see if you're going to have enough to build it. You don't lay that foundation and then determine that you do not have enough to finish that, and with all the world looking upon that. Notice in verse 31, 32, 33. He then turned around and gives the parable here of going to war. Or what king, or going to make war in verse 31 against another king, setteth not down first, consulteth whether he be able to with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Well, I don't know, you know, and I respect and admire all those that stood today, veterans that stood in the military, and but I always pray for and think about those military planners that, you know, sit in a room and huddle down and look at all the facts and try to decide before going to war and counting the costs and what does it mean and what is it going to mean to America, to our military, to the men and women that serve. That's a huge, huge responsibility. And so when you look at it here, he simply gave the parable. When you look at it, if you're going to go to war, you sit down, you count all that cost. Do you have enough manpower to go into war against the enemy you're facing? Do you have enough firepower to conquer the enemy? Are you in this to win it and to win it quickly? You know, I grew up in an era during the Vietnam War, and I grew up in an era. I was at Bowling Green State University in Ohio when the four students were shot and killed at Kent State University in Ohio on the college campus. And our campus at Bowling Green, as with Ohio State and as with Kent State and all the other universities around there, that flared up. And they set our Army, our OTC building on fire on the Bowling Green campus. I remember the protests. I remember going to classes and the boycotting. I remember the fires. I remember the all the ruckus going on. I remember, you know, them coming over the PA system at our high school, at Madison Senior High School, saying that we just got word that so-and-so serving in Vietnam that used to go to school here with us lost his life and is not coming home. Those things kind of set in your mind and in your heart of people that you went to school with and people that you knew and around you and the high cost and the demand of what that is and what that entails. And so there's a lot of questions. He simply says here in discipleship, forsake all. He said, only those willing to carefully assess the cost and invest all they had in this kingdom, he says here, are worthy to enter into. In other words, this speaks of something far more than mere abandonment of one's material possessions. It's an absolute, unconditional surrender. Let me ask you that today. How committed are you to Jesus Christ? How surrendered are you to Jesus Christ? Where do you stand in your commitment level to Him? Jesus' disciples were permitted to retain no privileges, make no demands. You think about it, they were to safeguard no cherished sins, treasure no earthly possessions, and cling to no secret self-indulgences. Their commitment to Christ must be without reservation. Look at it, if you will, in verse 34, verse 35, he gave us this. He said, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So when you think about this, salt is good, and so no doubt it's used as a preservative is what Jesus had mostly in view here. And pure salt cannot lose its flavor or effectiveness, but the salt that is common in the Dead Sea area is contaminated with gypsum and other minerals and may have a flat taste or be ineffective as a preservative. And such mineral salts were useful for little more than keeping footpaths free of vegetation in Bible days. And so Christ here employed these kinds of imagery here on at least three different occasions in the Bible. And so when you think about it here, I want to show you some things from Scripture that you think about that we've looked at. From Paul, remember what Paul to Agrippa? He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, Paul, not quite, but almost thou persuadest me. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch, and you'll run into some out there today that are searching for the truth. They're searching for something. They don't know what it is. That's where the Ethiopian eunuch was at. And remember Philip, when he came beside him, he said to him, he said, understandest what thou readest? There are many seeking the truth. There are many seeking this thing of maybe even Christianity, and they just need somebody to help them, to guide them. It's great. Brother Niels Hoffman, one of our deacons, is outside today, but his granddaughter was here with us last Sunday. And there was just a course of events that kind of come together in all that. Brother Neil and his prayer life praying for his granddaughter to be saved. Then the Holy Spirit putting upon her heart to travel from Oregon to Canton to see her grandfather, and then wanting to make sure she could go to church, and told her grandpa that, you know, she's bringing church clothes so she can go to church. So lo and behold, she comes last Sunday, young lady, 30 years of age. and here's the gospel and that. And so Neil stepped out with her, come down, and we had the privilege to lead her to Christ last Sunday and commit her heart and her life to Jesus Christ. Now, she went just so you know, she went back to Oregon this week, and Brother Neil's already been active in finding her a church to go to within 5 miles from her home, and also following through with that church to follow up so she can get scripturally baptized. Committed Christianity is so important. And when you think about it here, the Ethiopian eunuch, Tefillah, do you understand what you're reading? No, he just needs somebody to help. The thief on the cross, saved, but no time to become a disciple. That's what you might even call a deathbed salvation experience. He looked at Christ and, remember me when thou enter into paradise. And Jesus told him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. At least the man got saved before he died. So in that, we look at the apostles saved and became disciples. Paul saved and became a disciple in Christianity. We need to move from salvation to discipleship. It's a process of salvation to discipleship, a process of commitment. Commitment. You know, when you look at it, how do we get there? Do we even want to get there? Have you ever counted the cost? Do you even have the desire to get there? Because it comes with a heavy price. You know, when you think about it, here are some common denominators I kind of analyzed or looked at in the 21st century that Christianity, I think, can help us, leading us from salvation to being a committed Christian, being a committed follower of Christ. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know if I died today, took my last breath right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that. But are you committed to Christ? Are you genuinely committed to Christ? I think here's number one, the number one denominator. Church members must read and study your Bible. You need to study the Word of God. Research has shown that daily personal Bible study is the clearest indicator of Christians that are growing spiritually. So let me ask you today, inventory your life. Look at it today. Are you reading your Bible on a daily basis, the Word of God? It's an indicator of your spiritual atmosphere. Daily Bible reading has the highest correlation to other spiritual disciplines. And so much of the Christian life flows from reading your Bible and worship and evangelism, prayer and all that. But disciple-making churches exhort, encourage, provide resources for church members to be involved in daily Bible study. If you don't have a devotional book, we have devotional books out there on the table. You can take one of those with you on any given Sunday. There's Bibles in the pew in front of you here. If you don't have a Bible, take one of these Bibles home with you as a gift from our church to you. But get a good Bible and begin to read it for your own spiritual growth and to be committed in your own Christianity. Here's thought number two on a common denominator, and that simply is church members are encouraged, engaged in some type of a Bible study in their life. In other words, those in a Bible study group, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's Wednesday night, whether it's an AM connection, whether it's Bread Breakers, whether it's ladies' Bible study, whatever, find somewhere in your life that you're engaged in a Bible study group that will help you grow as a Christian. There's plenty available. You got to find what fits for you. Those in a Bible study group is 5 times greater than people who attend just the worship services only. Don't allow yourself to get in that and say, well, I'm just content. I'll go to church, worship God on Sunday. I gave him my hour and 15 minutes or whatever. I'm good to go for another week. That's not going to lead you to discipleship. That's not going to lead you to being a follower of Christ. Are you saved? Yeah, perhaps so. But getting in the Word of God, and so we find here that is so important. Assimilation is strongly related to discipleship. And do you belong to some kind of a Bible study group? There are many here at the church that are offered. And there's stuff online you can get into, but find something that fits in your life. Thirdly, I think church members are sharing their faith on a regular basis. Do you know your best testimony is your own faith and how you came to Christ? And you should be able to take, and I'd encourage, if you've never done this, do this. Sit down and write out your personal testimony of your salvation. Write it to yourself. The day you got saved, clearly, when you understood that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. When you understood that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I sat right here last Sunday and asked Ari down here when we got to that point of it on Romans 6:23, this gift of salvation, Ari, do you want to receive that gift today, this moment, and ask Jesus into your heart? And she said, yes. She could have said no. I've had people say no. I've had people say, well, let me think about it for a while. Well, what is there to think about? Your life weighs in the balance. So being committed and find here, and the best Bible, sometimes the only Bible people are going to see is what is in you walking and speaking and sharing in your Christian life. They look at you and they see through you Christ. So be the best Christian that you can be. And true disciples, if you really are followers and being a committed Christian, you won't be able to keep your mouth shut in Christianity. You got to share it with somebody. You got to talk to somebody. You got to share the good news of the gospel with somebody. Are you sharing your faith today? And how regularly do you share it? Fourth thought is this. Church members, I think, also should then, as a committed Christian, be generous in their giving. And I know many in our congregation are generous in their giving. Stewardship is a clear indicator of whether you're making healthy disciples. Healthy disciples, being a follower of Christ. Understanding the Bible principles of stewardship is so important because it ties into our committed Christianity. By that, simply meaning it's hard sometimes to be able to learn the principles of tithing or giving to the Lord, but it's an issue of the heart more than anything else. It's an issue of getting committed to Christ more than anything else. So when you look at it here, we find how or that in relation to stewardship. Everything that we have, God has given to us. You think about that for a moment in stewardship. All that you have, everything you own, everything you possess, you and I are just the manager of that. God owns it all, and He's provided it to you. Your career, your family, your wealth, your possessions, or whatever you have, that is, and stewardship has been a gift that God has bestowed upon you. So are you committed in that area of biblical stewardship? Number five is simply this. Church members are expected to attend, really, a corporate worship service each week. Now, when you think about, you know, I don't know about you, but I pretty well, by now, had my fill of the coronavirus, the virus, the vaccine, the booster, the conversation. I want all this to get over and get over so we can move on with our lives. Amen? In society, in the world that we live in. And if you really think about it, and in that area there, because I think that down through this, during the coronavirus period, it has kept some good people out of church. And I realize what we've gone through, I understand that, but a lot of times what I'm seeing and observing right now, people are reluctant to re-engage maybe at the commitment level they were at prior to the coronavirus. Don't let the things of this world hold you back and hinder you from being totally committed to Christ. I realize you got to be safe. I realize you got to be smart. I realize you got to protect your health and to do your very best to take care of yourself in that area there. But don't let it interfere with being committed to Christ. And to realize that that true disciples of Jesus Christ are going to be connected to the body of Christ. This is the body of Christ in the church. And so a disciple of Christ will not be the lone ranger going it alone. And I think the coronavirus is keeping some people on the sidelines of being the lone ranger and where they need to re-engage with the body of Christ, with the body of believers in the fellowship of what God designed and put in place. That's not our design. God designed that. God designed the body in the local New Testament church. And so what portion of our church membership is actively involved in worship? Are we encouraging others to stay in church and at least get to the Lord's house at least once a week to worship Him and put Him first? Forsaking not, the Bible says, Hebrews 10:25, the assembling of ourselves together. Number six is this. Two more points will be done. Number six is church members are involved in ministry and missions. Be a part of a missions program. And this church has always been missions-minded since day one in 1957. Next year, our church will celebrate 65 years of ministry. And from day one, Brother Carroll, the founding pastor, and the leaders of the church in 1957 over in Van Born, Merriman Road in Van Born in Wayne, launched the church with the idea it would be a mission-minded church, preaching the gospel both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And so the gospel is to go out being preached here at home and then around the world. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we're engaged in missions. That's why we give to missionaries around the world. And that's why we pray for them. That's why we support them financially. Is part of the Great Commission and be part of a mission-minded church. And this is one of the most neglected parts of the church, and I think is one of the hindrances. If you want a healthy church, it's got to be mission-minded. It's got to be mission-minded of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the... And why is that so? It gets us to look beyond ourselves, and the human nature is to be self-centered and self-willed. And so missions gets us outside of that and gets us engaged in others. Care for the physical, the emotional, the spiritual needs of others. And number 7, church members should have an access to an entry point, whether you're coming in, whether it's a new convert, a new member, and getting engaged here. Ron and Dinah Sanchek, they teach First Steps. We'd encourage you, if you've never been through that, encourage you to go through First Steps, get engaged in a class somewhere, begin to learn Bible doctrine, and that you can grow. And it's proven that high expectations brings more positive growth in discipleship, and people want to be a part of something that makes a difference. If you expect little, and Jesus, I think, really taught that. If you expect little, you get little. He expected much, and he expects to get much. And let me ask you today, where are you at in your commitment to Christ? I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about being genuinely committed to Him. Christians that engage in daily Bible reading, group Bible studies, evangelism, corporate worship, ministry, missions, giving generously will become more effective disciples, more effective in their commitment to Jesus Christ. Because, my friend, one day we need to realize this. We all will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're a believer, you're saved here today, we all will stand as a believer before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of every word spoken, every deed done in this life. One-on-one, you stand there alone. Nobody else beside you, just you and your Savior giving an account of this life that you've lived. Now, for the unbeliever, if you're here and you're an unbeliever, you'll not stand at the judgment seat of Christ if you're an unbeliever. If you're listening on the live stream today and you don't believe, you've not yet been saved, you've not yet been born again, the non-believing world will not stand at the judgment seat of Christ. They will stand at the great white throne judgment and have to account to God why they did not get saved, why they did not repent of their sin, why they are not a born-again Christian and believer. And they then, those that stand at the great white throne judgment, the Bible says, will be cast into outer darkness. The Bible calls it hell forever and forever and forever and eternity forever. Most important decision you'll ever make is to get saved, trust Christ, be born again, and commit your life to Jesus. Have you done that today? If not, you can do it right now, today, right this moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed today. If you're here today and praying today and you say, Pastor, I'm here today and I've not yet been saved, I've not yet been born again, but I'd love to be able to do that today. I want to pray and receive Christ and commit my life to Him today. My friend, you can do that right now, right where you sit in the seat you're sitting in, right where you're sitting on the live stream today. You can pray and receive Christ. If you're not genuinely born again, genuinely saved, you can do that today. Is all you got to do is just pray and commit your heart. And this is a prayer not between you and me, between you and God. And just pray this prayer to God right where you sit today. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. There's no amount of good works that I can do for eternal life. And God, I realize the wages of sin is death, and the gift that you're offering today is eternal life. And God, today I accept that gift of eternal salvation. And with confession of my mouth today, and believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ today, I desire to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you look up here today, my friend, if you're here and you prayed to receive that, you need to let somebody know. Publicly let somebody know. Let us know. Let your family know. Let somebody know. Today, on November the 7th in 2021, the year of our Lord, I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. But to the believers today, let me ask you this. Where's your level of commitment, not to me, not to the church, to Christ, to Jesus Christ? That's where the true cost of discipleship comes. Be a committed Christian. Be a committed follower of Christ. Might be a good place today to say, God, today, this day, from this day forward, I'm going to recommit and commit my life afresh and anew. Not for salvation. I'm already saved. but fresh and anew for a commitment to Jesus Christ, to be serious in my walk and my fellowship with Him. Let's stand together today, if you will. And Rosalind's going to lead us a verse of invitation. And if I can pray with you here today. By the way, by way of prayer request today, you have much to pray for. Pray for Don and Evelyn Westfall. Evelyn's not here today. She had seizures this week. She's in a hospital. And she may be home by now, but pray for her. Some of you in our church family remember Richard and Dorothy Mullins, the Mullin family. Sweet family. And I just got word yesterday that Dorothy has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and they found 20 tumors on her liver. Dorothy needs prayers. We all need to be praying for Richard and Dorothy Mullins, for Evelyn Westfall. If you know somebody that's not saved, just like Neil was praying for his granddaughter, Ari, to be saved, now's a good time to pray for the salvation of the lost. And my friend, if you're here and anything we can do, we open the altar. You're welcome to come to pray just on your own. If I can be of help to you, we'd love to be of help to you. If you're interested in First Baptist Church, making that your church home, I'd love to talk with you about church membership. So as Rosalind leads us today, you come as the Holy Spirit leads today. Without Him, I could do nothing. Well, that is so true, and without Him, I would surely fail. How about you, my friend? Are you committed to Christ today? Are you saved? Do you know Him? Are you fully committed to serve Him? If you want to sing along with Rosalind, sing along with her. People said, amen. Thank you. Be seated just for a moment, and we'll let you get out of here and head towards home. But anyway, as Tammy shared with you earlier, if you will, in your bulletin, if you have one of these slips, you can fill that out and put down something you're thankful for, praised for. Let us know how God has blessed you. Truth be told, all of us have blessings beyond measure, amen. And if you don't want to drop it in that pot out there and we can share it or whatever, fill it out and put it on your refrigerator at home. Amen. How many of you still got room on your refrigerator? Yeah, those things fill up fast. I don't know, but there is much. We're in a month. You got a lot of things to be thankful for during this this time of the year, and God has been good in so many ways. Let me just share with you, Faith Bible Institute is setting up registrations for the January semester. And so if you're interested in that, see Devin and Angie Grant, but they'll be starting, I think the cutoff here is November 15th. So you have a week from Tuesday to get registered. And if you have questions about that, they'll be starting in the book of Genesis. They meet every Tuesday night over in the gym. And they're going to be going into classes, I think, in the Genesis area. Several, looks like you got several classes in here. And so you can't go wrong by studying the Bible. So I'd encourage you, if you're interested, get engaged in Faith Bible. Faith Bible Institute will be a blessing to you. Pray for the young people. They're going on an activity today. And just pray for them as they take off this afternoon together. And then also I see the teens are doing a spaghetti dinner fundraiser. And that they're going to be doing that next Sunday on the 14th, right after the AM service. So it says they're raising money for winter camp at Bethel. So if your schedule fits next week and you like spaghetti and want to eat some spaghetti, you can do that. Go over to the gym. And I don't know if there's a sign-up. Is there a sign-up sheet on that or no? I mean, I don't know. Is Pastor Adam, is he in here or not? No? No sign-up sheet? So if 200 people bombard you in the gym, we'll be okay? Yeah. So I don't know, but anyway, it'll be a support to the youth department and as they get ready to go on the winter retreat. And if you'd like to do that, eat spaghetti next Sunday after the morning service, that'd be great. They'll be set up for that. And then also the Ladies Craft has a Ladies Craft weekend coming up November 18th to the 20th. And they'll be meeting at the church every day at 9:30 at that time. So you can sign up for that. Also, Christmas decorating. I think Christmas is, what, 7 weeks away? Praise the Lord. And that means snow's, today's going to be sunny, beautiful, and 60. But believe me, Christmas is coming, and the weather comes along with that usually at some point, either by January. So, but they're going to be decorating for Christmas, and if you'd like to help on that, we can many hands make for light work. So on Monday, Tuesday, November 22nd and November 23rd are going to be decorating here at the church. And see Haley Wade for that, if you will. And then Operation Christmas Child, the boxes are here. Feel free to pick up a box for Operation Christmas Child. We do that every year and be in support of helping children around the world get something for Christmas. You can get one of those boxes and fill it up. I think there's a sheet out there that tells them what to put in it, correct? And go ahead. Okay. 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 And that's next Saturday at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. Great. So just follow the guidelines for Operation Christmas Child and for that. And then also the ladies' Christmas party, they got on here December the 3rd at 6:30. So a lot going on with all that, and a lot to be thankful for. Let me just say congratulations to the Canton High School football team. Well done, brother. And raise your hand, yeah, down here. And Arturo, it's been the quarterback. Your dad's been keeping us up to date in the games, and a great season, and proud of all you guys and the team there that did so well. But I think... what they played Celine and won and lost. Did you lose Friday night to Belleville? Yeah. So that would be another year. And but you're a senior this year, is that correct? Yeah. And that. So, but anyway, high school sports. Oh boy, I miss that. And you know, our kids. I just loved high school sports when our kids were in it. And that. So it's a lot of fun. Let's stand together. And good to be in the Lord's house today. Good to see you. And let's have prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house today. And Father, thank you for just the Word of God. Thank you for the Gospel of Luke in chapter 14. And God, help us all to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in being committed in our Christian life. Number one, to be committed to be saved and to follow Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. But God, then to live our lives day by day being a committed Christian out of the cause of Christianity. May we realize that our love for you is to be supreme above everything else, about all other relationships here on earth, and God, that we're to put you first as number one. May we trust you and live and walk by faith day by day. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Good to see you. Have a great day.